Morning. Today's scripture reading is from John chapter 21, verses 15 to 25. In some of the Pew Bibles, it's on page 1166. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Because of this, the rumor spread among the brothers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us life for one more day, for bringing us to your house of worship, to fellowship with you, to sing praises to you. Father, as we continue worshiping you, we ask you to bless the lips of our pastor who's going to be delivering your message to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Seven words that can change your life. In John 21, verse 22, we have a question and a command. The question is, "What is that to you?" And the command is, "Follow me." Actually, this was not the first time that Jesus said to Peter, "Follow me." In Mark chapter 1, verses 16 and 18, we read, "As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. 'Come, follow me,' Jesus said, 'and I will make you fishers of men.' At once they left their net and followed him." But later, In a moment of weakness, Peter denied Jesus three times. And now, after the resurrection of Jesus, Peter went to his fishing again. Jesus found him and once again called him and told to follow him. But first, Jesus wanted to hear Peter commit his life and love to him. Jesus had a message. He had a plan for Peter. And yet, first he wanted to make his desire clear to Peter that if Peter wants to follow him and if Peter wants to be blessed, he has to rededicate his life and he has to recommit his life to his service. That is why he asked him, Simon, do you truly love me more than these? Not only once or twice, but three times Jesus asked, Simon, do you really love me more than these? Now, my wife is the only person that knows me better than anyone here except God. Even my children don't know me as much. And if I were to go to her and say, do you love me? And she would say, yes, I love you. And then I'll come back and say, do you love me? She would say, yes, I love you. Huh? Oh no, she would say, you know that I love you. And then the third time she would say, give me a break. What is it you want from me? You know that I love you. Well, Peter was like my wife. He said, you know that I love you. Well, let's just follow the whole thing. But Peter, instead of feeling honored and happy for being asked by Jesus about his love and and commitment for him, he wanted to know about the others. He asked Jesus, Lord, what about him? And it would be like my wife saying to me, yes, yes, I know, but what about your daughters? And I would say, but I want to know whether you love me or not. And she would say, I know, but what about your daughters? Do they love you? And again, that's what Peter did. And probably the reason why my wife would be asking, what about your daughters? She would like to make sure whether she has the first place in my heart. And Peter, I believe, he wanted to know whether Jesus had really forgiven him, and now he had a first place in his heart too. He wanted to know how the other disciples were doing. Very often I'm asked about other religions and doctrines, or people who never heard the good news of Jesus Christ, or even God, and they want to know what is going to happen with them, or what God thinks of them. And of course, this is a cliche statement, and yet it's true that when I talk to some people in our business office, or even when they call me after the radio program, yes, yes, you're preaching all this, and yes, you are a Christian, and yes, you believe in God, and you believe in heaven and hell, right? Right. And you believe that some will go to heaven and others will go to hell, right? Well, everyone is going to hell unless they look at Jesus and ask him to help them and forgive them and give them salvation. Well, what happens to those in the Amazon? What happens to the person who has never heard about Christ and Jesus? Well, what is that to you, sir? I'm asking you whether you believe in Jesus and if he is your Lord and Savior. Yes, yes, I know, but I want to know what's going to happen to this poor person in the Amazon who has never heard about Jesus. And to avoid a direct response to my question, they're using these as excuses. The answer, of course, I have to them is God is more concerned about that person in the Amazon or anywhere else. That person loves these people more than you will ever know and love them. This God is more interested in their salvation than you'll ever be. And God is a just God, and God will deal with every one of us according to our understanding and knowledge and light we have received. But what about you, sir? You know everything. You even know that someone in the Amazon has to be converted, and yet you are not converted. Usually people want to know about the other person's or people's stand, position, or status, so they may, if possible, justify themselves. You know, dear brother, what you just did is wrong. What you just said is not pleasing God. Oh, yeah, I know that, but what about the others? You should see the elder and the pastor, you know. I mean, they're doing it too. But the Holy Spirit says, right now, I'm concerned about you. Consider the Lord's question to Peter. If you are allowing another person to keep you from trusting and serving the Lord, what is that to you? In other words, why is that your business, what the other person does? What is your business is what you do and how you live your spiritual life. So many of us look at the failures of others. So many hide behind the word hypocrite. I don't go to church because it's full of hypocrites, is a very common statement people make. And Jesus said, follow me. Jesus says to those who don't go to church because the church is full of hypocrites, do you think where you are right now in the world there are no hypocrites? And isn't it better to be among other hypocrites like you when you go to church and hear God speak to you? Because even the person who says that I'm not going to church because the church is full of hypocrites is a hypocrite himself or herself. But Jesus says, follow me. Just remember, you are not responsible or accountable for the sins of others. Every one of us will give an account of himself or herself, Romans 14:12 says. You cannot use others as an excuse when you stand before God. The child of a drunkard that has heard the gospel cannot use his father's failures as an excuse. The wife of a husband who is lying and cheating and is a hypocrite, and in the church he is an elder, cannot reject God and leave the church because of her husband or the husband about his wife. For every one of us is accountable for our own soul and our own life and lifestyle. Every one of us is accountable for our own sins and is accountable to God. Now remember this. The person closest to you may be keeping you from Christ. Maybe it is the failure of your wife or husband or girlfriend or boyfriend. And I would like to say at this point, the young people, the teenagers who are going God or have boyfriends and girlfriends who are unbelievers and don't believe in God, you are disobeying God and God is not going to bless you. And that person who is an unbeliever will pull you out of your communion with the Lord, and eventually you will follow him or her. The percentage of those who came to me to get married with an unbelieving partner, even though the other partner may have said the right words to convince me that they were believers, and yet the Holy Spirit in me was saying that they were playing little games. Most of them either didn't continue with the process of getting married and left, or got married and they were divorced. And others who stayed together are going through a difficult period of time. You cannot disobey God and hope to be blessed by God. Your husband, your wife, your boyfriend, your girlfriend may be the reason why you are not going to church or reading the Bible, and yet you are responsible. You alone are responsible for your relationship with God. Maybe it is the failures of your boss and neighbor. Or maybe another believer's attitude or lifestyle. And a lot of people have left churches, have left Bible studies and prayer meetings because there was someone or the pastor or some others became stumbling blocks. I know the Bible says it is better for someone to go and jump in the river, than become a stumbling block to children, or that could mean young believers. Look past the failures of others and look straight to Jesus. That is why you've heard me say all the time, focus on Jesus, focus on Jesus, and you think that I don't know anything else about doctrines, I don't know anything about prophecies, I don't care about... No, I do know and I do care, and yet I believe the most important thing in the life of a believer is to focus on Jesus and follow him rather than the pastor and or the elders or the doctrine of such a good preacher or teacher or whatever. And people have made their own idols and following people rather than Christ. And Jesus says, follow me. What if others fail? What is that to you? Why should the failure of others affect your Christian walk and service? I know it's sad to see a brother fall or fail. It is terrible to see a sister or a child fail, and yet the bottom line is we are responsible for our own soul, and we cannot leave the church, leave Christ, or walk away from the Lord because someone has done it and now has upset us and we can't fellowship anymore. Consider the Lord's question if you have been hurt by another Christian. And I know most of us may have examples of other Christians hurting us and hurting the church and hurting other Christians. And it's happening all the time and will continue happening. And yet, we are responsible for our own actions. Some Christians be very cruel, and you know that. And how self-righteous they can often seem to be or pretend to be. Many faithful believers who used to serve the Lord fervently have been hurt by others and have left their faith. Well, and I don't want to go into the doctrinal thing about salvation and things, but they have left their walk with Christ and now are paying for the result of that. The work of Christ is often harmed by careless tongues and selfish desire. Bitterness has replaced the blessings for many wounded believers. The other day I was listening to someone and he said, vengeance is the flames that feed on vengeance, the desire to be satisfied. And I believe many Christians have lost their joy and their peace because they've been hurt by other Christians. And instead of being able to forgive them, that vengeance, that hatred, that bitterness is eating them up. And Jesus says, follow me. Do you see how Jesus' words were distorted by gossiping or gossip? Jesus said, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. And I was thinking about that yesterday, and I said, obviously, John could not have stayed forever. Jesus would not give him eternal life on this earth. And yet, I said, if he wanted to, he could. But listen to what the next verse says, verse 23. Because of this, the rumor spread among the brothers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, if I want him to remain alive until he returns. What is that to you? Has your Christian life or service been injured by thoughtless people? Have others failed you? What is that to you? What do you mean, what is that to me? They've hurt me, you may say. If they fail, why should that affect your Christian walk and relationship with Christ your Lord? Okay, let's look at a scenario. Someone has lied to you. He was an elder in the church. He was the pastor. He was a priest. He was a friend that you trusted. And now he has failed you. He has lied. He has put salt on the wound, if you wish. And now you are very bitter. And now you can't even look at this person without having these negative thoughts. And yet, this person, you look at this person and he is happy or she is happy and she is continuing doing what she's doing so well, gossiping or hurting others. And you are now being destroyed by the hatred and the bitterness you have. Who do you think is being harmed? You. You have lost your joy. You cannot communicate any longer with the Lord because you cannot pray without remembering what this person did. And you cannot even pray for this person, let alone bless him. But if you were to follow Christ and everyone else became either friends or acquaintances or the enemies of Christ, but not yours. Consider also the Lord's question if you envy another person's talents or position. Lord, what about him? Why can't I sing like this person? Why can't I preach like such and such a preacher on television? And he has 10,000, 20,000, 30,000 followers, and the church is filled. And here, Lord, I'm working day and night, and I'm doing everything, and I don't have the gift. I stutter sometimes, and I have a speech impediment, and I can't deliver. And so I'm going to just give up, Lord. No, the Lord has placed you in a place, in a situation that you are the best suited. This other person can't do it, but you can. Lord, and what about him? Peter wants to compare his service to that of John. Peter is actually saying, okay, if I'm going to feed the sheep, what will John do then? Or if I'm going to die as a martyr, what will happen to John? Have you been losing God's best because you are envious? Someone else's position? Talents? Speaking abilities? Another success? money, attention. Jesus wants to know, what is that to you? And then he wants you to know that you are who you are and you have been given gifts that can be used for his kingdom. He says to you, regardless what others do, you follow me. God often chooses to use those who think they have little to offer. He often uses those who others think have little to offer. Now that we looked at this area of life, I hope we will examine ourselves carefully and see whether you and I have allowed the words and failures of others to affect our own life and walk with our Lord. And then face the Lord's question, what is that to you? Are you a believer or a follower? And that question is very important for you to consider for a moment. Are you a believer or a follower? And I don't mean a follower of a religion, a follower of a human being, a follower of a doctrine, a follower of philosophy. But I mean, are you a believer in Christ? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Or a follower? Are you a follower of Jesus Christ and you are following Christ? There's a big difference between believing in Jesus and following Jesus. There's a big difference between saying, I'm a believer. So is the devil a believer? Satan even believes in Jesus. As a matter of fact, he is more of a believer than any human being can be, that Jesus is God, because he knows. He doesn't need faith, he knows. But we need faith. So we say, I believe in Jesus. And if you say you believe in Jesus, that's fine. But are you a follower of Jesus? That is what makes the difference. I may be the admirer of a young... A young man can be the admirer of a young lady who is so beautiful and so pretty, and you admire her and you dream of her, or a young lady be the admirer a young man, and yet until you make a commitment to this person and he or she becomes your partner and you become one, you never can enjoy that union. And then when you do that, then you are in a wonderful union. And that's how it is with Christians, a born-again believer who has committed his or her life to the Lord. When you follow him, you go to the places where he goes and you enjoy the things he enjoys, and you participate in the things that he enjoys. You say, well, that's all theory. What are you talking about? How can I follow Christ? Well, actually, he is not there to see him and follow him. And yet in your heart and in your soul, you know where he wants you to go so he can be with you. And in your soul and in your heart, you know that he knows that what you're doing is right or wrong. And when you do right, then you have this peace and the joy. All this is only theory and philosophy and only religious stuff to the person who has rejected Christ and doesn't care about his spirituality. And yet, to those who have become children of God and are following him, they know, you know what I'm talking about. So the question this morning is, are you a believer or a follower? It is time to pay attention to the Lord's command. Follow me. Our responsibility is to follow Jesus by serving him in our own unique way. In our unique way. I cannot do the things she does, or I cannot do the things that the doctor does. I cannot do the things that Emil does. And yet God can use me the way I am and who I am. I don't believe every one of us wants to be exactly a carbon copy of someone else. Because God has created each one of us in His own image, and we can only be like Him. That is why He said, be imitators of me. Be holy as I am holy. So once again, the question is, am I a believer only or a follower? And if you are a follower, then you know that God has blessed you in the past and will continue blessing you. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you for enabling us to be here this morning. Thank you for enabling us to, for a moment at least, look into our life, look into our own commitment, and see whether we only claim to be believers or we are believers and followers at the same time. May the Holy Spirit touch each one of us and strengthen us and enable us to follow you wherever you lead us. In your blessed name I pray, amen.